So maybe that's why I hate him, because I hate myself. Thank you for coming to my therapy session. And welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I think that the best konbini chain is, I'm gonna be basic with this one, 7-Eleven.
I'm Jeff, and I agree, the best konbini chain is 7-Eleven. Each week, we watch the first 3 episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to love it or weeb it. If we don't like the show, we stop watching and weeb it to its own devices. But if we love it, we commit to do a full review of the show once it's complete. Today, we're sampling the first 3 episodes of Sing Yesterday for Me, which is available subtitled on Crunchyroll and Verve. But before we get into that, I wanted to do a quick check-in on other anime that we've been watching, and sadly, as the times are, to check in on anime that has been canceled or delayed or whatever because of COVID-19. The only news I have for this is that A3 came back today, episode 4, which I have not had time to watch. But
me either.
I was hoping I would have had time to watch for the show, but I have not. So hopefully that keeps airing.
Yes.
And Millionaire Detective, which we have kind of had, I guess we're not going to be covering on the show because it got delayed after episode 2, so we don't have a 3rd episode to preview, but it has been announced that it'll be coming back on July 16th, which at first I was like, oh man, it's not that far from now. Then I realized, no, July's a ways away, so that's next season. So goodbye, Millionaire Detective. Mm-hmm. Hope to see you another day.
I'll miss you, my sweet, sweet boys.
I was so excited to watch it.
Yeah, me too. I'm heartbroken.
Have you been watching anything else?
I've watched the latest episode of My Next Life as a Villainess. I love that show.
Oh, you met Sirius. I haven't met him yet.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get on this this train.
I want the Sirius Dick. Oh. Sirius Dick.
Oh, my God. If people don't know his name, then you just sound crazy. Oh.
How do you pronounce it?
I don't remember. Just wrong, like the way they pronounce Gerald.
I think it's Sirius Deku. Sirius Deku.
No.
I don't know about that. Sirius D.
Anyways.
The only thing I've been watching is Puella Madoka Magica Magia Record, just like 10 different nouns in there.
Yeah.
It's very meh.
Oh no. Is that why I heard nothing about it?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's like, it has some of the same like atmosphere as the original Madoka, but like, it's just like feels so muddled. And I'm like, why are we following these people? What's going on? It also like just uses a lot of weird background imagery and stuff in ways that like doesn't feel intentional. It's like, is this a weird thing that's actually happening in the world? Or is this just like weird imagery? Like those would be weird, like stylistic things happening in the background that look like they're part of the real world or look like they're things that are actually happening, but it's no one's reacting to them. And it's like, okay, did you just want to spice this up and not tell the animators that something was happening? So.
Well, good thing I didn't have to watch that.
Yeah. It's a good thing we didn't cover it, I guess.
Yes. Now, tell people what we're doing today.
Back to Sing Yesterday for Me. So it's based on a seinen manga, which started in 1997 and ended in 2015. And this is something that confused me because it only ran for 11 volumes. And that's like, it was running for more years than volumes, but I couldn't find any information about going on hiatus. So I was like, was it just really slow pace, or like the chapters are really short or something? Because that's bizarre.
Yeah, well, maybe the author was like doing something else at the same time.
I guess so, but it seemed like it was running in a monthly magazine, so I don't know how that, usually that correlates to like at least 2 or 3 volumes a year. The thing I was interested about looking into the manga was when we were reading descriptions on our episode 0, like one of the descriptions you read said that this was like a very influential and important and famous manga, and I don't think so. I think that was hype text. I was trying to see if there's like any cultural impact, and like I don't think there was enough cultural impact for it to like in any of the English anime fandom source like texts and wikis and stuff. There wasn't much anyone was talking about it. The only thing I could find was that like the last 3 volumes that came out in 2013, 2014, 2015 charted on the like Oricon manga weekly charts, but each of them only for 1 week, except for volume 11, which charted for 2 weeks, which is still not that much. Like in 2014 was its highest position in 25th behind like Kuroko and Ajin. And just for context, it was 25th. And with 10 times as many copies sold that week was Terraformars volume 9. So like,
oh no,
that's also something that like didn't leave much of a cultural impact. So I don't know. I don't think it like was that big of a manga. But I guess it's cool that it's also weird because it ended in 2015, but like it feels so retro. Like it feels so 90s.
Well, it started in the 90s.
Right.
They keep that tone.
Time changed faster than the manga did, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it is animated by Studio Dogakobo, which I think is mostly notable for Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun and New Game. And I think it's kind of, Nozaki-kun's great.
Yes.
I guess.
Excellent.
Apparently Dogakobo has a long history of helping out other anime studios and like has a very solid track record with it. So there might be a lot of work they've done that isn't as notable to anime fans. He's what I heard from watching Crunchyroll's Anime Academy video. But aside from the studio, the series composition is by Jin Tanaka, who has done a bunch of different Precure shows. And I thought it was interesting that they did the series composition for Laid Back Camp, because I always wonder, like, how much the series composition matter for something that's adapted from a manga, because it's like the story's already there. But there was the last episode of Laid Back Camp. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't watched Laid Back Camp, but it's like, it was an adaptation choice that I feel like only made sense in the anime and wouldn't have made sense in the manga. And if you watch Laid Back Camp, you know what I'm talking about, but it's a really good like fake out and trick that I think only works because you don't know if there's more story or not. So anyway, I think I kind of have some confidence in this adaptation based on the fact that, based on that one singular data point, it seems like there could be some interesting adaptation choices. Otherwise, the series director has done like New Game and Plastic Memories. The character designs are by person who did character designs for Magia Record, which I was just talking about, and Ozaki-kun and Prison School.
Oh, no. So,
Ozaki-kun had good character designs, so this will be great.
Those are all very different shows.
Right, that's the thing. It's like, I don't have a sense for the taste. So what's the show about?
So this story is about Rikuo, who is a year out of college, and he doesn't really have much ambition to like do anything. So he's working part-time at a convenience store. And then he runs into his former classmate, Shinako, and there's like feelings there. And then he also meets like this girl, Haru, who has a pet crow, and things are weird. And they're all weird. And that's the story.
I don't think we're going to be talking about anything that really counts as much of a spoiler, because I think everything that happened, there are events that happen in these three episodes, but I think they're all kind of foundational plot setting things. Like, so, you know, I think this isn't going to ruin the experience for you we haven't gotten to any like huge twists.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the show?
Overall, I'm interested in it, but it's not like incredible.
Right. That's how I feel. It's like, I'm intrigued, but it hasn't like gripped me. It hasn't like touched my soul. It's been like, there are a couple of moments where I'm like, oh, same. Okay. That's a little bit relatable.
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels very like it's trying to reach the hearts of people who are feeling a little aimless, or like just trying to be, not trying to be relatable, but like it is like a relatable story of like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I'm fresh out of college, or I got a job fresh out of college, and like, here I am just trying to make it work. And that is like, part of me is just like, this is great and good, and I enjoy that. But I need more things to happen in the actual story.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it has all those things on paper. Like all those things on paper, I'm like, okay, this is like the recipe to make it very relatable and like something that everyone can reflect some part of their experience, and everyone should. I just feel like it hasn't really like, maybe it just takes time to really like be invested in the characters more.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, and maybe it's because it's focused, maybe it's just focused a little bit too much on romance so far. And the parts that I find more relatable are about feeling aimless, and like the bits where they're talking about the main character Rikuo, you know, like not wanting to go to his college reunion, which for some reason they have after 6 months instead of a normal landmark. But anyway, like not wanting to go to his college reunion because he feels like a failure compared to everyone else, and things like that I find really relatable. But it's like, that's kind of just mentioned and then passed over. And the main point of the show is wanting to confess to his old senpai that he had a crush on in college. And that's something that I'm like, okay, that's not quite as relatable. And it's also not like,
yes,
it's a relationship we just got introduced to. So the first episode ends on this, like, I wouldn't say it's dramatic cliffhanger or anything, but it's like built up to him finally confessing to her after 6 months of them not seeing each other since college. Or wait, I guess, sorry, it's been more because it's been 6 months since he's graduated, but she's his senpai. So she must have graduated like a year or two before, at least. So I think it's been more than 6 months they've seen each other. In any case, so like he confesses to her, and then she's like, let's stay friends. And I wasn't like, oh my god, this is devastating. I was like, okay, where's it going?
Yeah, because we had just met them.
Yeah,
this turned out to be much more like romance focused than I was hoping. Which I mean, is fine if you're like looking for a romance, but what I'm hoping it turns into, since like he confesses to Shinako and she turns him down, says let's just be friends. And then, like, this girl, like, fresh out of high school, Haru, is, like, I guess that they're not that far apart in age. But to me, it's upsetting.
I did think the age gap was interesting, but it's not that big.
Yeah, I wasn't into it. I mean, age-wise, it's not that big. But I do usually have problems with people fresh out of high school hanging out with people in college and fresh out of college. Just because, like, there's, like, a maturity level. That's usually different. But Haru is like uniquely mature for because she right. she dropped out of school and had to get a job and has been living on her own. Not just like, it's not like that typical like, oh, you're so mature, so older guys are into you kind of thing. It's just like, no, she's just like had it rough.
I mean, I think that's fair. Like, she doesn't seem like the characters don't feel like there's a huge age gap between them. Mm-hmm. But when it's framed as so, like, the extra connection. So it's like a bunch of these characters that have connections to each other, right? So Haru is confessing her love to main character Riko because he like helped her when, what was it? He helped her when she dropped something on the street?
No, he dropped something. And she right. gave it to him and he said, thanks. And then we got no other explanation for why she loves him.
And then she's in love for 5 years.
Yes. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, whatever. I mean, you can't control what makes you fall in love with someone. I mean,
I guess not.
So basically it's kind of a love triangle in that regard. Like, you know, like she has a one-sided love for him and then he has a one-sided love for his senpai. But then also Haru had, when she dropped out of school, had the friend and senpai Shinako as her teacher. So
it's very uncomfortable.
As soon as they see each other, she's like, oh, like, because she's teasing Riku about being like having competition for his love. And then she realizes that her quote-unquote competition is her high school teacher. Mm-hmm. And she's a little bit awkwarded out. But so that's the framing that makes me a little bit uncomfortable with the age gap. It's like, it's not just that like, oh, she's out of high school and he's out of college. It's like, and his peer was her teacher. So it's like, it's not quite that she's romantically interested in her teacher, but it's like 1 degree removed from that.
Yeah.
Which, icky.
Yes, very gross.
But the concept, like a 5-year age gap, I think there'd be about 5 years, maybe even 4.
Yeah, but still gross to me.
Yeah.
Personally, I was like, I don't like this. Haru, find somebody else. Someone who's more in your age range and maybe is actually interested in you.
Well, yeah, I think there's no healthy relationship that's been mentioned, at least so far in the show. Everything is one-sided or longing for someone who's dead.
Yes, which is very sad. But I'm kind of hoping that what this story turns into is like them all like helping each other heal from whatever bullshit that they're going through. Like, oh, I don't have any... You know what? I don't buy this from Riku. I kind of get it, but his whole deal is like, I don't have any ambition, so I guess I'll just do nothing because that way I can't be disappointed. And I'm like, ugh, get over yourself. You're not that special. Like,
I mean, isn't the point that he's not that, like, that he's very, like, it's a very standard thing to be going through, you know?
Yeah, but it's just so annoying. I just, like,
I don't think he's like, I am the most unmotivated person in the world. He's just kind of like, I don't have any, I think he just doesn't know what to go for in life.
Yeah, I like his friend who he works with, Kinoshita. He's like, well, you're working here. Isn't that like the same thing? Couldn't you just be working somewhere else and like not invested in it? And then he's like, yeah, but there's less pressure if I'm here. It's like, if you look at it that way, there's less pressure wherever you are. Just like, you can quit at any moment. Ugh. Like, I kind of get it, but the other part of me is just like, whatever, dude. You're, what, 20, 22, 23? Grow up. But I don't want him to need the assistance of this 18-year-old girl to grow up and, like, get on a path in life. Like, to me, that's very bothersome that, like, what makes him change? Like, it already kind of happened because she was like, I changed myself and that's why I'm more confident now and I'm like more willing to like go out and do things. And he's like, okay, I should try to make a change too. And that's why he confesses to Shinako. But I'm like, why do you need this 18-year-old girl telling you, a grown-ass man,
well,
what to do?
I mean, I don't think he's grown-ass, you know, like their life experiences aren't that different, especially because like he would have been somewhat sheltered in college in terms of finding his life purpose, you know, like, that's so true. I think it is an interesting angle to show that like someone who's fresh out of college and someone who's fresh out of high school could be in similar positions in their life with, you know, I mean, she's kind of aimless by her own circumstances. Like she doesn't really have much mobility or options, I assume, without a college degree.
Yeah.
But he, you know, is aimless because he doesn't know what he wants to do. And it, like, I don't know, it doesn't seem that weird to me to compare the two, if that's what it's going for.
Yeah.
The other fourth character, which I haven't mentioned yet.
Oh, my favorite one?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. But anyway, so Shinako, the senpai that the main character has a crush on, she is uninterested in him because she has not gotten over, well, not because of, but separately, another reason, another contributing factor to the fact that she does not want to think about a relationship right now is that she is still getting over the loss of her boyfriend who died in her hometown. And his brother has come to Tokyo to, I don't know why.
Go to school.
I guess. He's still in high school though, right?
Yeah, he's in high school.
So I don't know why he like moved in the middle of high school. Anyway, his name is Ro.
Love him.
He has a great design.
Yes.
I feel bad because I'm like, he definitely has the best design, but he's the youngest character. So I'm like...
Yes. He has that dumb like safety pin through the ear thing that like...
He's really cute.
That everyone did in high school, or at least in my shitty high school.
Is that a thing everyone did? I didn't know that.
It's like some... Or like, what are they called? Paper clips. Just like emo kid shit. It's edgy. But did you recognize his voice actor?
Oh boy.
You didn't?
No.
No clue at all? Fine. It's it's Natsuki Hanai, who plays Tanjiro in Demon Slayer.
Oh.
I've brought him up several times. Also Kaneki in Tokyo Ghoul, Takumi Food Wars. And he was Ikuto in Smile Down the Runway. If you recall that time. Wow, I can't believe you didn't recognize Tanjiro's voice. Unbelievable.
Ooh, he's in Disney Twisted Wonderland.
Anyways, I can't believe you didn't recognize the voice of my favorite boy. But yeah, he just plays really good boys, I guess.
I don't recognize him because he's only a minor character in Grand Blue Fantasy, so, you know.
Oh my god. I think, did you ever watch like the like Japanese Digimon?
Yeah. Oh, he's Tai Chi in the recent movies.
Yeah. I thought you would know.
So, I mean, yes, I watched that in Japanese, but I don't, the voices are not.
All right, I'm sick of this.
They don't register to me as like.
I'm going to quit this podcast.
I don't recognize the patterns. I just don't.
If you don't start paying attention to voice actors.
I don't see the matrix. Like I see in English, I can tell, oh but like. God. Japanese.
Wow, I'm sick of this. I immediately heard him and I was like, oh, my baby Tanjiro's in here.
Oh boy.
But yes, he's great. He's the best character by far. He's the most interesting. He's the one I care about. I think he's transferring to the high school that Shinako teaches at. And for some reason, this I could not understand. For some reason, on graduation day at a school he does not attend, he was in a classroom moving things around and drawing them. And
As you do. Maybe it's because everyone was busy at a graduation ceremony, so he could just
he doesn't take go over there. The That's not his school yet. He hasn't transferred.
I don't know. Like, I am most intrigued by him because he is the cutest and the hottest, but also right. I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that he's like in this like web of it seems like the story is very romantic leaning, and he is the youngest, and it's like, is he there to be a love interest with his dead brother's ex-girlfriend? Like,
I'm hoping not, but. I feel like I'm hoping that he just has like a I'm going to protect her because she needs it or something.
You like that? That seems patronizing to me.
Well,
since he's so much younger.
It's like a dumb little brother thing sometimes. You're just like, I got to protect my sister no matter what. And I'm really hoping it's not romantic because, again, that's weird. And she's got to be like close to 10 years older than him.
Yeah, but I also find it uncomfortable that like definitely the best character design is the youngest character. I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Couldn't you have made them more of age? Come on. Please.
Or just less adorable. Haru is like, I want to know more about her backstory. Because at first I thought like, oh, she lives on her own. She had to drop out of high school. Like maybe her whole family is like gone. But no, she still has a mom. For sure we know she has a mom.
And she hasn't seen her in a long time.
Yes, she hadn't seen her in five ever. But she's had flashbacks of her dad speaking. I guess it means he's gone because she was meeting a man in her mom's house that I'm assuming is her mom's like boyfriend. So I just, what happened? Why'd Haru have to drop out of school? Because she keeps telling her old teacher, who is also Rikuo's love interest, that like, oh, it's not your fault that I dropped out of school. It's not your fault. Which she says enough times that maybe it is her fault. But
do you think, I just had a revelation. So you know how, so one of Haru's her like defining character trait is that she walks around with a crow on her shoulder, which like, I don't think they would let you into the konbini with a crow on your shoulder.
Yes, what the hell? What's going on with this crow?
And like, no one mentions it. No one is like, I can understand that they said something. I was like, you can't bring that in there. And she's like, oh no, its leg's broken. Or something, anything. But no, it's just there all the time. And she does explain that it's because the leg is broken or whatever. Do you think that crow is like, so its leg's broken, right? And it's taking a ride on Haru. So you think it's like, ow, Haru ride.
No, I'm going to kill you with my own two hands. I thought you were going to go in like a weird direction. Like, oh, her dad got injured and it died. And that's the crow.
It is the crow.
And he's the crow now reincarnated. Oh, wow. You did. You went in the worst possible direction that you could have gone for that. But I am like, what's up with the crow, Haru? I want to see where this story goes, but not really. Like, it's like a solid, okay show. Like, if someone was like, is this bad? I'd be like, no. Like, is it good? And I'm like, I don't know yet.
Right. Like, it's definitely a solid foundation. It's like these characters that it does seem like, I'm kind of spoiled because I looked at like a Wikipedia page to find a list of characters and did at least see that like each of these four main characters has like a circle of other people around them. So it's like, I'm intrigued to learn more about the characters and their lives and their situations and their struggles and everything. But like, I'm not sole part of these, like this format of previewing three episodes is to like figure out if in three episodes we can be like immediately sold and like have strong confidence that the series is going to go in an excellent direction. And I'm kind of like, this is a great foundation, but like, does it, you know, pull off some amazing landing? I don't know. If people were praising the series as, you know, like as being excellent eventually, it would make sense given this opening. But it also makes sense if people were like, yeah, it was okay throughout. It's okay. It's impossible to tell from these three episodes.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I'll probably keep watching. I mean, when I watched Next Life as a Villainess, or My Next Life as a Villainess, I was like, I have to know what happens next. I have to keep going. Mm-hmm. For this one, I'm kind of just like, I feel like I know where this is going. And it's just going to be more of the same for 18 episodes. And then I'm going to be like, okay, cool. That was a show. Like, it's not touching me emotionally, kind of like I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. It's not like, what's a good, like March comes in like a lion immediately. Like within the first three episodes, I for sure was hooked. And also I was very sad and crying a little. And this one, like, it's not getting me emotionally attached to anyone because it's not giving me enough information about any of them.
Yeah.
It's too much mystery.
I think it's also a weird mix of, like, very grounded, realistic style and characters. And then this Haru character who's like, she's so weird. She's basically manic pixie crow girl. And it's like, okay, I don't find it that interesting or unique to be like, look how grounded and realistic it is. And there's this wacky girl. Like, that's... she's not even that wacky to begin with, and I don't know.
I kind of liked how in episode 3, you know what? I take it back. I don't like it. So in episode 3, Haru and Rikuo are supposed to go on a date. Well, it's not explicitly a date, but it's a date to the movies. And Rikuo's like taking care of Shinako and falls asleep and is like, okay, I'll get there at 11, and like misses it completely. And it's like 2 p.m. And so he like stood up Haru, and then he like, honestly, I felt Haru in this moment. She was like, where were you? Why are you so late? Or I was worried something happened to you. And he's like, oh, I was at Shinako's apartment. And she was like, what? And then he's like, oh, don't worry. It was just to take care of her because she was sick, you know?
And but also, like, the extra context is that he had been sick before, and then she and Shinako had brought stuff for him. So he was kind of just returning the favor in a more extreme way.
But Haru is like angry and hits him with an umbrella and is like, have you ever heard of a white lie? Like, you didn't have to be so honest that she takes she's more important than me to you. Like, she'll always be number one compared to me. Like, she's like, you could have just lied, and like runs away. And I'm like, yeah, why is he such a dick? He could have just been like, I'm so sorry I overslept, which is the truth. You didn't have to tell her.
Right, like, the fact that he overslept at Shinako's apartment is irrelevant?
Yes, it's irrelevant to why he was late. He was just late because he is an idiot and overslept. He didn't have to, like, hurt her feelings, like, on purpose, it feels like, almost.
So I thought you were going to be mad that she, like, overreacted or took it so, like, emotionally, or, like, it seems she's taking it like it's a romantic situation. I thought you were going to be complaining about that, but instead you're complaining that he was stupid, so.
Yes, because... like, he knows how she feels. She's made it very clear. And instead of, like, I'm angry at him, I think, mostly. That's probably why I don't have any sympathy for him. It's because I'm angry that he, number one, is kind of leading her on by, like, not saying, like, hey, there's no chance at this. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't, like, I don't think he's explicitly told her no. He just, like, lets her hang out with him every day at his place of employment. And then he's like, okay, I'll go to the movies with you, stands her up to hang out or to take care of some other woman, and then tells her that he's with another woman. It's just like, you need to take responsibility and either tell this girl no and goodbye, or you need to just like start caring for her and care about her feelings at least. He's so selfish. I hate him. I've decided just now. Yes, I have no sympathy for him. I'm glad he got turned down. He doesn't deserve love.
I'm not that extreme, but I do not enjoy watching that sequence play out because I would really enjoy them to have a friendly relationship. You know, like for them to go to the movies and to become friends and to like, you know, for their friendship to allow them to grow as people and to learn from each other and like, and whatever. But like, I do not want the romantic subtext, which that basically like most of the whole episode was all about.
Yes.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't hate either of them for what they did in that sequence. I just hate the scenario for pushing them down that path.
Yes. But also like, okay, on one hand, I'm like, go Haru. She's asking out the dude that she likes, which is, I mean, more than he can say. Took him forever to ask out the girl he liked. And she got him to say yes. And then, like, he stands her up and, like, this whole fight happens. And what made me very angry, actually, was when they run into each other later and she's, like, on her bike, like, doing a delivery for work. And he's like, hi, sorry. I'm, like, the one in the middle of the road, you need to move. There's a car.
Wait, it's like at a red light, but they keep staying there. Like, she's on a bike and he's just standing in the crosswalk at the light turned and the truck behind them is just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yes. So one, it's stupid. Two, she is the one who like, he doesn't actually like even apologize that well. He's like, oh, sorry. And then she's the one who's like, okay, I'm gonna change because this is all happening because I'm not open with who I am. And it's like, no, it's not your fault that he's a huge jerk. Like, she was like, I'm gonna change. Hi, I'm Haru. Here, I'm this many centimeters tall, this many kilograms. And like, she's the one who's like, I'm gonna be more open and more communicative. And I was like, girl, you were open from the start with this boy. Like, why is the 18-year-old girl more mature than the 20-something-year-old boy? 22, probably? Sure.
I mean, 22 is still very possible to be very immature at that age. And it's like, on paper, I see the interesting idea that it's going for of a 18-year-old who has some of the stuff more figured out than the 22-year-old, you know, like that is very possible. And it's just not, I'm just not totally on board with it until I could see, you know, 10 episodes from now being like, oh my God, I'm totally on board. Like, they're a great couple. Like, I totally support them. But at this point, I'm just like, ew, icky.
Yes. It makes me angry. I've decided that I've decided in this moment during this podcast that I hate him and I need him to get his shit together. Haru, what are you doing? You can do better. What if the other boy, Ro, is her love interest?
Wait, that's totally possible.
Wait, he's so cute, though. I love him. Maybe this would happen.
He is so cute. Oh, my God.
And they had a moment where she shared her coffee with him. Because the vending machine ate his coin. So maybe. And she invited him to the place that she works, but during the day. I'm seeing it now. I'm back in for this story. I got to get right back in. Like, maybe I hate him. Okay, I'm thinking back on it again.
Just cut him out of the story.
No.
What if it becomes Ro's harem?
No, this is horrifying. He's the youngest. No, okay, back to earlier. So earlier I was like, I don't buy this from Rikuo. He's being a little baby. Maybe I'm projecting because I was kind of like that when I got out of high school. Or not high school, college. I was like, what am I going to do? You know, also high school, I was like, what am I going to do? But college, I was like, what am I going to do? I'm not into anything that hard, like whatever. Maybe I'm projecting onto him, but also because like I guess his feelings are valid. And at one point when he crashes his bike after getting rejected, he's just like, I just want to quit life. I'm like, I've been there. So maybe that's why I hate him, because I hate myself. Thank you for coming to my therapy session.
I'm not qualified to be on the other end of this call.
I've learned something about me. Thank you, saying yesterday for me. You've taught me about myself.
I mean, I actually, like, one of the weird things that this made me think of is, like, confronting that 4 or 5 year age gap, whatever, like, we are 5 years apart. And there are often times where I forget that. And I'm like, oh, wait, Annie's 5 years younger than me. Oh, but, like, I think I met you at a point in our lives where there didn't feel like that much of a maturity gap. Yeah. So, like, it's not something that is top of mind all the time. And I don't know if that's maybe that I'm immature or you're more mature for your age or whatever.
The most mature. But no, I feel like it's because at a certain point when you're out of like high school and college, I feel like there's like everyone's kind of on a similar level at that point. Yeah. For me, it's just like she just would have gotten out of high school.
I don't think everyone is.
Not everybody, but like,
but for like, the most there's part, more vari- or like it's possible for people to be more like, it's possible for people to be more on the same page.
Yeah.
But it doesn't apply to everyone.
That's true. But like it would be, if their age gap is like 4 years, then I would be less bothered by like someone who's 21 and someone who's 25. Well, like that seems completely normal and fine to me.
Oh, I think the thing is, like, to me, if they were a freshman in college and a senior in college, that to me would feel gross. But for some reason, if they're like both right out of school and it's just different kinds of school and it's like amount of time they were in school, that to me feels like they're equally aimless, or they're equally like they're freshman to life. You know what I mean? But I'm just thinking abstractly. I don't really have personal experience with that, because when I was in college, when I was out of college, I didn't talk to anyone who was younger than me. So
that's good. You're not supposed to. That's the rules. As soon as you graduate college, you don't talk to anybody else who hasn't graduated college or is of age to have graduated college. You don't need to go to college. It's not worth it.
Oh, boy.
Honestly, everybody, let me tell you, the debt's not worth it. Like, just follow your heart. I'm really coming to terms with things during this podcast. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Oh, boy. What does it say about the show, though?
Oh, the show's, like, I guess emotional? I don't know. I'm not that into it.
Yeah, like...
I feel like, okay, if I had to give you a verdict, which I do, because that's how our show works. Oh, shit. I don't love it.
Oh, no. I feel confident.
I don't love it, but I don't want a wee bit.
Oh, I think of our Love It or Weeb It distinction as, I only will love it if I like want to go share with everyone. Right? Like, I want to say this is like anime of the season, and it's very much not that. So
wow. So far we've only talked about two things, so I can't say if this is like even in the top of this season. I feel like it will be.
But I feel like even if this were anime of the season, or sorry, even if this were like the second best anime of the season, my takeaway from that would be like, okay, it's okay to not watch that much anime this season. You know, it wouldn't be like,
all right,
well, there's only two shows, you need to go watch this other one.
Well, I feel like then I'm going to have to weeb it, but I'm going to watch more of it and maybe I'll love it.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back.
I'm definitely intrigued enough to watch more, but I am happy to weeb it to its own devices now.
Ugh. All right, fine. We're weebing it. How sad.
Before we get into Twitter questions, or at least I was like, specifically after last episode, I was like, we need to, next episode, make sure we talk about the openings and endings. That's something we forget to talk about. So, Annie, what did you think about the opening of this beautiful show?
Wow, it was so lit and definitely more than 0 seconds long.
I think that's true. I think it's like 3 seconds of like a static shot.
It's a title card with Comic Sans on it.
Oh my god, the Comic Sans now.
That's what it is. I was cracking up, but I was also like, I get it. Comic Sans is a good font for people who are dyslexic, but like, find another one.
The ending is good, though.
Yeah, the ending's nice.
It's nice.
It's calming.
And I like how it shows different, I guess it's just showing footage from the episode framed in like pictures, and the picture, like the things on the desk change the episode based on the contents of the episode. So like the episode 3 where they have the movie that they don't go to, there's like a torn movie ticket.
Aww,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's cute.
I wanted to see the movie, so I'm also disappointed. Well, time for Twitter questions. So @TalazyArtist asked, if y'all were suddenly able to summon crows, how would you use this power? Ooh, I don't know. Oh, okay. If there was enough crows, do you think they could pick me up and take me places?
I mean, you weigh like 5 pounds, so maybe.
All right, sick. I'm going to use them for the transportation. Skip all the traffic. I also probably would fight people if they got on my nerves.
I feel like I don't know how I'd use this, but it seems like they have to be useful for distractions. But like,
distractions?
I'm not an evil enough person to like... steal
need
stuff.
That? Yeah, like, what do you need a distraction for?
I don't know. Like, are there less evil ways, like, to sneak in front of a really long line for some exclusive merch or something, you know?
Wow, that's still pretty evil. People waited a long time for that.
Well, I mean, there's no such thing as crowds anymore, so.
That's true. I was gonna say sneak into, like, a concert or something, but that's not an option.
No.
All right, yeah, I just use it for transportation. Take me to the beach, crows.
You could use it like Eat the Rich a little bit, you know, just like
hell
steal,
yeah, you're
like,
right.
Tesla car keys from.
I'm going to have these crows tear Bezos limb from them. And then they'll redistribute his wealth.
I guess I'm glad there are no Amazon podcasting platforms that we could be kicked from for that statement, so.
I've got a bone to pick with him. Okay, we had another Twitter question from @Coronabono, and they said, can you discuss the influence of fried chicken on vegetarian cuisine? Is this because there's crows in this show? But I'll tell you, as a vegetarian. So, fried chicken. It's great, right? Everyone loves it. Even vegetarians.
Wait, so did you become vegetarian? Like, was there a time in your life where you ate fried chicken before becoming a vegetarian?
Yes. I didn't become a vegetarian until I was 12. So, and then I took a break when I was like 19. Don't tell anyone. But, so, fried chicken. Great. Crispy on the outside, juicy on the inside. It's delicious. Who doesn't love that? But if you want it without the cruelty, then you want to be vegetarian. So there's a lot of really good fake chicken that has all that same great taste of the dead animal, but without the guilt. So it's good. You can't deny.
Oh, so it's not the harm to animals that bothers you. It's the guilt that you are responsible for it. So it's all about you.
Yeah, all about me. All the time. And the environment, because the meat industry is one of the biggest contributors to climate change. I need you to know this, Jeff.
Oh, boy.
But it's like, true.
But, like, chicken's better than beef, at least. So.
Oh, for sure. It's so much better than beef, especially for the environment, for the just everything, for your body. Also, chickens are pretty dumb, especially compared to cows or pigs. Pigs are super smart, so maybe don't eat pigs. But... But chickens are pretty stupid and their heads come right off. So, you know, you don't have to feel too bad about
that. I don't understand this question. This answer's gone too far. So. So we talk about how we went from like murdering Jeff Bezos to like how easy chicken heads fall off.
Okay, these Twitter questions really just inspired something in me. Thank you for leaving, Bob.
Yes. So before we end the show, do you have a non-anime thing you've been enjoying recently?
Non-anime, huh? Oh, every time you ask that, I just get intensely embarrassed that it's the only thing I do. I wanted to watch the Trolls movie, but I didn't. So there's that.
Jeff? My pick ties into that, actually.
Oh.
My pick involves a star of Trolls World Tour. You're talking about World Tour, right?
Yes, the new one.
Okay, so my pick, okay, it has a lot of caveats. I need to, like, frame it properly without being problematic. So I'm going to recommend it's kind of the whole season, but specifically last week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, season 12, and which starred as guest judges Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Jeff Goldblum, who is anime, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. But specifically that episode, which they were great guests on, with some caveats, and Rachel Bloom was then a guest on Nicole Byer's Drag Race recap podcast. And that was a great podcast episode with them just like talking about like what it was like to be a guest. And they're like, are there things we can't say? Like, we don't know. No one told us. What should we not say? Oh no. And it was really fun. And just like hearing Rachel Bloom talk about being with Jeff Goldblum and stuff. It was great. RuPaul is very problematic and is, you know, gross and transphobic in lots of ways, full of fracking. There's lots that's not good about RuPaul. And the one thing I'll say is that like, I've only seen like 4 or 5 seasons of it at this point, but like, if you've seen enough Drag Race, Ru kind of fades into the background and is like, cause she says the same lines every episode. And it's like, I kind of forget she's there even. So, that's not great. Like having this amazing platform for drag performers and excluding trans people from that. Not great. Not good. And hopefully that'll change someday. But like the season has been, I don't want to say it's been lots of fun because it's been full of lots of like, it's been a lot more reality TV show than fair competition.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama.
That's, the show is always like.
But like outside of the actual show itself.
Oh yeah. So yeah, there are extra levels of problematic people on this season. And also Jeff Goldblum said some like shitty things on the episode. He basically like, there's a character who was dressed in a hijab and as soon as Jeff Goldblum saw that, he was like, well, isn't there something about Islam that is anti-gay and anti-women? And everyone was just like, what are you saying, Jeff Goldblum?
Oh, a lot of bad Jeffs this time, huh?
Okay, we should not eat all Jeffs. But anyway, it was fascinating hearing Rachel Bloom talk about, she was like, why did they leave that in? That was such a weird, like, he just says random stuff like that. And for some reason left that in. I think because they showed, like, by the end of the episode, he was proven wrong. And he was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But whatever. It's a lot. It was a really fun episode. Like, it was the like, segment that was, like, a mock presidential debate that Rachel Bloom and Jeff Goldblum were participating in. And that was, like, one of my favorite segments of 5 seasons of Drag Race that I've seen. So that and the podcast were great. And Rachel Bloom was in Trolls World Tour. That's how it ties back in.
I was like, wait, how did this try and tie into Trolls World Tour?
It was funny when they were introducing Rachel Bloom on the podcast. They like introduced her saying like, she's famous for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and Trolls World Tour. And she was like, oh, thank you. Now I have 2 things. Like, I finally say 2 things instead of just 1 thing. Because...
Because it was just Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, sure. Like she had nothing else that people she could point people to.
Wow.
Is Trolls World Tour actually supposed to be good? Or is it so bad it's good?
I feel like it's supposed to be good, but...
Apparently it's like has a message about appropriation. About so
don't culturally appropriate?
Yes. No, not it's good.
Yeah, I was going to be like, wait a second. No, I'm sure it's like not a good movie, but like it should be like a fine children's movie. We have spent so much time on these things instead of the actual show.
Because the show, it's too early to tell if it's actually good or not. And
oh my God.
I feel like it's biggest selling points at this point are like, oh, it's adults, but like it doesn't make it compelling in and of itself. So also the most compelling character is not adult. So
that's so true. All right, we're done. We weebed it. I'm sorry to this show. Hopefully I'll love you later.
Goodbye. This show weebed nothing to the imagination.
All right. Anyways, please review us on Apple Podcasts or leave us some feedback on our Twitter at loveitorweebit or at Gmail at loveitorweebit@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at any other name.
And I am Jeffrenly Jeff, and kind of still have a Digimon podcast if Digimon ever comes back from hiatus, which would probably be a while.
Rest in peace.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And as we always say, give that man an anime.
Oh, shit. I had an answer for a little question thingy, and then I second guessed it, and now I think I'm just going to stick with it.
I mean, even if you pick the right answer, it's going to be for the wrong reasons, so you can always be wrong.
That's true.
Don't worry.
Hello, and welcome to Love It or Weeb It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone, or if it's just for the worst of the weebs. I'm Annie, and I think that the best konbini chain is, I'm going to be basic with this one, 7-Eleven.
Ah!
Why? Is it yours?
I'm Jeff, and I agree. The best convenience chain is 7-Eleven.
Oh, shit. But why?
I did not expect you to agree. No. Okay.
Okay, I was going to say Family Mart, but I changed it to 7-Eleven because 7-Eleven's always been there for me when I need an ATM.
Okay. How about this? So Annie's wrong in basic. My pick is 7th and I Holdings.
Shut up.
Which is the same thing as 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
7-Eleven created the konbini revolution in Japan. And there is, oh God, what's the name of the manga? There's an entire manga you can read about the creation of convenience stores in Japan. It's a little bit disappointing because it talks about like the elaborate history of like how they got the one store started, but it doesn't actually explain how konbini became so much better in Japan
than
in America.
Jeff, this is a lot. I need you to know that
Seven Eleven have the best bakeries.
Oh, I would disagree that 7-Eleven has the best bakeries. I think that's Family Mart.
Mm, okay.
I feel like Family Mart has better bakeries and more desserts, which like I'm super into. But just 7-Eleven is just a good place for like staples. Like you need some snacks? Great. You need an ATM? Great.
Yeah, they are the best foreigner-friendly ATM.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that maybe the other ones have gotten better because of the Olympics, which... Oops, no Olympics.
Sorry, Olympics. All right, I guess we kind of agree.
Oh, God, we need to cancel the show.
All right, it's canceled. Just kidding. I love Family Mart. They do have really good sandwiches that I like. Like their egg salad sandwich, super good. And they have this like blueberry cheesecake one. Ooh, love that. I can't eat a lot of the food.
A lot of people love the Family Mart chicken. The fried chicken at the counter, but like...
I wish I knew.
It's okay.
I wish I knew. I heard that. I thought Lawson's had better fried chicken.
Yeah, I thought that too. But like, I think Family Mart has like Famichiki. It's like a branding, I guess, worked really well. People love Famichiki.
Well, it's a fun name.
I have multiple 7-Eleven themed Gunpla, so...
This is horrible. All right, Jeff.
You're a fake fan.
Tell us what we're watching today. We watched... So it's about Rikuo, who is like a year out of college. He doesn't really know what he wants to do with life. So right now he's just working at a part-time job at a convenience store. And he's just kind of aimless. And then he runs into his ex-girlfriend, Shinako. What?
I don't think they ever dated.
Okay, well then the description says girlfriend. But you're right, they didn't date.
Wait, what description are you reading?
I'm not telling you.
Are you on my anime list again?
Okay, let me take it from the top.
Annie.
It's the only one I go on, okay? Fine. I'm saying it again.
And after I caught you red-handed.
Again. You caught me again in my anime list. Okay, fine. Let me try it again.
Ooh, he's He's in Disney Twisted Wonderland.
Oh my God, I want to play that so bad. Sidebar.
I'd also want to play it.
There's no English version. Ugh, he's someday.
He's Riddle Rosehearts. Who's that supposed to be based on?
Rosehearts?
Oh, I guess it's supposed to be.
Probably the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah. Or apparently there is, there's like one for each. Like there's Hearts, Ace, Spade, Clover, and Diamond.
Anyways, he's great.
Wait, why is there Spade and Clover? How are there five? There are only four.
Maybe Ace is the leader or the baby. You never know.
This is weird. Anyway, Twisted Wonderland looks like
great.
Great Otome trash.
Yes, can't wait for it to come out in English. Anyways.
I was too busy like trying to be like, okay, so they went to Shibuya. Did I go to this movie theater? Did I know this movie theater?
Shut up.
I only know movie theaters where Digimon movies aired, so.
We already bragged about going to Japan with the konbini thing. We don't need to brag again.
I'm worried that segment is going to be so inaccessible to people who haven't, like, who don't even know what the word konbini means. We're just saying a word a lot and then talking about 7-Eleven. It's like, what are these dirty Americans talking about?
Well, you know what? They'll figure it out eventually. They can Google it. We got a bunch of weebs here, so. They should know.
We're drowning in weebs.
Drowning. Oh, okay. Well, Twitter time for Twitter question. Okay, so. Oh, spend Jeff Bezos's money?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's infuriating. I bought the entire NFL and several yachts and a couple mansions, and I still had so much money.
Yes, so the game we're talking about is, it's called You Are Jeff Bezos. It's a billionaire simulator.
I had so much money. Ugh, I hate him. Anyways.
We should make a, murder Jeff Bezos with crows simulator.
I would take so much joy in that moment.
I do not endorse the violent harm to anyone with the name of Jeff, so.
Oh, it's too late. I did. movie, but like it should be like a fine children's movie.
Oh, Onward was not that. So
oh, I heard only bad things about.
Oh,
that
really?
One.
I hear only good things, and then I was.
Oh, I just don't care for Chris Pratt, so I wasn't interested in watching a movie with having to hear his voice the whole time.
Even putting that aside, I was just like, this feels like Pixar movies usually don't feel like they're written just for kids, and I was like, this feels like it's just written for kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, did you notice how? So you know how Tom Holland plays one of the brothers in Onward. Mm-hmm. And he also played in that Spies in Disguise.
What?
Movie? Spy in Disguise, the Will Smith movie that he turns into a pigeon.
Oh, did that come out?
Yes, it came and went. So the main character, if you look at the main character of Spies in Disguise, and then you look at the main character of Onward that are both played by Tom Holland, they look almost the same. And they're two different characters, two different animation studios. Like, look at them. Are you looking?
I'm looking. And look at Spies in Disguise. I hated everything about Onward. Like, why make Smurfs main characters? Like, I don't. I'm uncomfortable with all of it. And then having like Jack Black, Chris Pratt as the brother, like, I think it makes he's supposed to be like a.
Why can't they just get Jack Black?
Well, I don't know. But he's supposed to be like, is Jack Black even relevant? I don't know. But like, he looks just like Jack Black. But he's like a tabletop RPG nerd dressed like a metal Jack Black. I don't even know how you describe Jack Black's archetype. But like, that's not, I don't think of that as like RPG nerd. Like,
yeah.
Like metalhead, I guess is the term. But.
He had that game where.
Yeah, Brutal Legend?
Yes, that's the name. So it's both RPG and metal.
I guess so. Is that like the fact that game exists is enough to be like they're connected?
I don't know. Anyways.
Onward, not a good movie.
Not a good movie.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And as we always say, give that man an anime.
Oh my God. Have we done that one?
Give that man an anime. I don't think so because I wrote down every time we've used one.
All right. Give that man an anime.
Give that man an anime. Sorry. Give that man an anime.
This makes me so angry every time because in high school I had this English teacher and every time we made a mistake and didn't use an in front of like a vowel, she would say, what are you? I don't know. Like it would just be like
in high school.
Like we would write it wrong and like it would just be like a typo or something. And she'd be like, what are you, an idiot? And like, and I was like, ow.
It is us. The idiots.
We're an idiot. So shout out to my English teacher in high school.
Give that man an anime. I also, one thing about watching this konbini store worker, like I remember like a couple years ago, I remember watching, what was that show that was like it was about the Nietzsche God is dead quote. It was like Nietzsche-san in a convenience store or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Nietzsche, what?
Mr. Nietzsche in the convenience store is the name of the series.
I'm trying to look this up.
I think it was an anime or just I think it was a live action comedy series that like is on Crunchyroll, was on Crunchyroll at some point. Like the title comes from the fact that like Nietzsche's God is dead quote, and like the customer service motto in Japan is supposed to be that the customer is God, but instead this guy has the philosophy of Nietzsche. So he's like, they're like, you need to treat the customer like God. And he's like, no, God is dead. Oh, I will treat this customer like shit. And it's like, God. Okay, that's one joke. Where are the rest? I think it's supposed to be fairly good, but I did not watch anymore. But anyway, I watched that show. I remember watching that show because I was like, oh, I miss Kumbini. I miss Japan. And now I feel like I should have been like that with this show. But like now I've just heard so much about how like being a worker at a convenience store really sucks and is really abusive towards foreigners. Like they hire a lot of foreigners because they don't have any mobility to work in any other sector of the economy. So they just give them shitty hours and shitty pay and stuff. And like, and it's just sad. So then like going into the show with that mindset and then having Riko be like, my life sucks. I was like, oh, maybe convenience do suck. And now I'm sad.
Well, he chose that job on purpose though.
Yeah. And I mean, this is set in the late 90s or whatever. So it's I assume it's pre convenience being like an abusive situation for the workers. But who knows if it's always been like that. I don't know. The show is not like an uplifting fun time.
No, but it also doesn't make me cry enough. So
yeah, it's not like, I don't know. It could go in that direction someday, but.
All right, we're done. We're done talking about it. I am hungry for konbini food though.